that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The Constitution of the United States of America was originally written on 4 pages. The Federal Register is the official journal of the federal government of the United States. It is a record of the government's rules, proposed rules, and public notices. Last year, its pages numbered nearly 90,000. God gave Israel the Ten Commandments, which were the basis of the law of God. The Talmud, the body of the Hebrew laws, traditions, and explanations, is over 6,200 pages long. A few laws are never sufficient for men. They think it necessary to add many more. The further away from God a people move, the more laws they will require. Nicolás Gómez Dávila has said, "Dying societies accumulate laws like dying men accumulate remedies." After the Exodus, God gave his people Israel 10 commandments. They are: have no other gods but the one true God. Do not make images of any created thing to worship it. Do not use God's name lightly. Keep the Sabbath day. Honor father and mother. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not tell lies about people. Do not desire other people's things. The law of Moses, based on these Ten Commandments, includes 613 particular laws. They are an elaboration and application of the Ten Commandments. That God gave his people Israel a law, no one doubts. But what was the purpose in his giving it? St. Paul asks and answers this question. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. The law of God was added to God's promise to Abraham because men are sinners. God's law reveals his goodness, his holiness, his righteousness. The law of God is not an eternal standard which exists independent from him and which he has adopted. Neither is it a variable standard which he has stipulated, but might have stipulated differently. The law of God is an expression of his own holy and righteous nature. The Psalms say of the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Psalms say of God's law, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. The Psalms speak of the Lord as the God of truth. They say of God's law, thy law is truth. Moses sang of the Lord, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. King David sang of the law of God, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So St. Paul wrote, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. God's law reveals his righteousness. And so it reveals to man what he ought to do, for man is to be like God. God said to his people Israel, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." The law of God is good, and it is good for mankind. It shows man the way of wisdom, the way of peace and prosperity. God told the people of Israel that when the nations learned the law of God in Israel, they would admire Israel for its great wisdom and understanding. They would adopt those laws for their own nations. To violate the law of God is not merely to fall short. It is to sin, to transgress. It is to do evil. To commit a sin is to violate God's holy law. It is to do something that is against God's nature, and so to incur the wrath of God. Sin is repugnant to God. He loathes it, and he punishes it with death. He warned Israel, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." If a man would live, then he must obey the law of God. God told Israel, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." One act of disobedience is sufficient to invoke the wrath of God. Moses, after he a second time gave the law to Israel, warned them, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them." If a man failed to keep the law at one point, he was guilty of breaking God's law entirely. So St. James wrote, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." The law of God is for the restraining of men's sins. It tells men what to do and what not to do, so that they know what God expects from them. The threat of punishment, to some degree, deters men from sinning. A perfectly righteous man does not need law. He, by nature, would do what is right. Sinners need law. St. Paul wrote to St. Timothy, "But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." It is not as though God needs a law to follow. God did not invent the law of Moses. God's law is simply a reflection of who he is. It reveals his righteous character. Of course, there were in the law of Moses temporary, although not arbitrary, laws, like the ceremonies, which were foreshadows of Christ, and the rules of diet, which were to distinguish the nation of Israel from the other nations. The moral law, however, is eternal, as it is an expression of God's holiness and righteousness. The law of God reveals God's righteous character. It tells men what God requires of them, and it deters men from sinning. Yet, it also provokes sin in men. The sinful nature is not ambivalent about God's law. It is rather hostile to it. St. Paul writes that the carnal mind is enmity against God. The sinful nature of man, when it encounters the law of God, rebels against it. The law of God, which is good, provokes sin in a man. The law of God, which God gave to man for his life, actually causes his death. This is no fault of the law, but rather of men. The law, St. Paul writes, is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. The law showed to the people of Israel their sinful natures, and it showed them that they could not stand before God by their own righteousness. The law taught them that they needed a Savior. St. Paul explained, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." God does not wish for men to die, but neither does he wish for them to sin. So he warns them not to sin, so that they will not die. He told the rebellious Israelites, "Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye." If the people of God sinned, God was gracious to forgive them if they repented. It is not as though God obeys his own law. God's righteousness is natural and spontaneous. He cannot be enticed by sin. Rather, he detests it. When the Son of God became incarnate, he took on human flesh and so became subject to temptation. At the beginning of his earthly ministry, the devil tempted him in various ways. At the end of his life, he faced the temptation of refusing the cross. St. Paul says that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. As God incarnate, he resisted temptation at every point in his life. He never killed a man. He never committed adultery. He never stole. He never lusted after a woman. He never coveted any man's things. He had malice toward none. He was a perfect man. Although he was subject to temptation, it was natural for him to resist because he is the Son of God. God tells the Christian, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," and he has given Jesus as the example to follow. How is it that Jesus shunned evil and only ever did what was right? How is it that Jesus perfectly obeyed God's law? Because as he is the Son of God, his goodness is innate. There is yet more. Jesus is good because he is love. God is love, St. John tells us. Jesus loved God and he loved his neighbor. Therefore, he always did what was right. There are in the law of Moses 613 commandments. These are application of the Ten Commandments. But the law of Moses can be reduced even further. They can be reduced to two. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." On one occasion, a Pharisee who was an expert on the law asked Jesus, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" Jesus answered him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets, that is, all the scriptures, are summed up in these two commandments. On another occasion, a lawyer asked Jesus, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked him what he thought the law taught on the matter. The man answered, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus told the man, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. The man, wishing to justify himself, asked Jesus to tell him who is his neighbor. Jesus told him of the Good Samaritan, who tended to the wounds of a man who would otherwise have had nothing to do with him because their two races were hostile to one another. On yet another occasion, a rich man asked Jesus what he should do to inherit eternal life. Jesus told him to keep the commandments. The man asked which ones he should keep. Jesus told the man, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he summarized, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The man presumptuously told Jesus he had always done all these things. So Jesus put him to the test. He told the man to sell all his possessions, give the proceeds to the poor, and follow him. The rich man could not bring himself to do it, even at Jesus' command, and he went away sorrowful. Jesus exposed what the man truly loved, neither God nor man, but himself. He loved himself, but he did not love his neighbor as himself. All of Scripture, all of the law of God, reduces to loving God and loving man. St. James wrote, If he fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. St. Paul wrote to the Romans that if they were ever wronged, they should love those who have wronged them by doing good to them. They should not take their own revenge, but rather allow God to avenge them. He further wrote that the civil authorities are God's avenger. God has ordained them to punish those who do evil. Owe no man anything, he wrote, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Anyone who perfectly loves his fellow man is a perfect man. Jesus was such a man. He was the only such man. He always loved his neighbor, even his enemies. When he was wronged, although he did protest, he did not retaliate. He always entrusted himself to God who judges righteously. Jesus' greatest demonstration of love was, of course, his giving his life for sinners. St. Paul wrote, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." No one perfectly keeps the law of God. No one perfectly loves God and his neighbor. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet Christ died for us. He died for us both to save us from the penalty of the law and to show us the way to fulfill it. Jesus has given a commandment to his people to love each other as he has loved us and gave his life for us. He told his disciples, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Let us love God with everything we have, with our whole beings. And let us love our neighbors as ourselves, even our enemies, for these are the essence of the law of God. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.